Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so y'all can learn the easy way while we learn the hard way. I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
I'm Hannah Rosner. I mostly write for television. And today, Jess is unfortunately not with us. However, we do
What did you do to her, Hannah?
She's no longer with us. No, she's with us in spirit, not on the internet today.
But we do have someone awesome.
We have a very special guest today, my friend Ben Blacker, who I met over the summer during the strike. We met because we're both instructors at Script Anatomy. And you've probably heard of Ben because he is the creator and host of The Writer's Panel, which is an excellent writing podcast. If you have not listened to it, please check it out. It's on Apple Podcasts, right? As opposed to Spotify, Ben?
It's everywhere you want to.
It's everywhere. Wonderful.
It's in your house
right
now.
It is. It's on your phone. In addition to creating The Writer's Panel, he and his writing partner, Ben Acker, have written on Supernatural, Puss in Boots, and they also have created the live stage show Thrilling Adventure Hour, which has run for over 10 years. Is that correct?
We are coming up on our 20th anniversary.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, so that is over 10 years. I was right.
It is over
that,
10 years. It hasn't been right. Yeah, it has not been consecutive. We stopped for a while, but we brought it back last year.
Yeah, well, welcome Ben.
Welcome
to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. This is our second crossover episode with another writing podcast, and we love doing this. It's very fun talking to other podcasts.
It's also the second time we've ever had a
decent podcast. Yeah.
So
Well, thank you for having me. I feel honored and privileged. And I love the podcast. So I'm thrilled to talk to you about.
Well, thank you.
So we always start with asking our guests about their origin story, or your, you know, how you got your starts, how you began in this crazy business. So
who you were before you were making money as a writer.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a constant process of breaking in. Like, I've been at this for 15 to 20 years, and it feels like I still have not made it, despite, you know, having worked on shows and sold a dozen pilots and movies and stuff. And like, it still feels like an ongoing process, you know, and that is partly my fault and partly the fault of this industry. But I'm originally from Boston. I graduated from Emerson College, which is where I learned how to write television. I transferred there from Syracuse. Syracuse is where I met both my writing partner and my wife. So my two longest marriages.
Great school.
When you met your writing partner, did you say, we have the same first name and almost the exact same last name, so we must work together?
Yeah.
Is that how it happened? Like,
that is basically how it happened.
Or did one of you change your name?
If we had changed our name, we would have picked something much cooler.
I mean, Ben Blacker and Ben Acker.
No, we had heard about each other. We were each the favorite student of these two grad students at Syracuse who were best friends. And we were each taking class. We were taking class with each of them, and we were each their favorite student. So we had heard about each other, and they were like, we should all hang out. And then I hung out with them, and Acker sort of disappeared. And then I found myself standing behind him in line one day, and he said his name to the bursar, and I was like, you're Ben Acker. He's like, yeah. I was like, the first thing I said to him was, you're an idiot. And he said, yeah, I know.
It's always a good start.
But why?
I'm hoping you did better with your wife, but
oh no,
you know,
much worse.
Never works.
But he and I became friends after that, and we started writing together after I transferred to Emerson, and then had graduated from there. He had moved to LA after graduation and was working as a office PA on Will and Grace. This was 2000, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And the agent for the guys who ran Will and Grace kept saying to him, like, I know you want to be a writer. Give me a script. And he called me up and was like, how do I write a script? I was like, let's do it together. This will be fun. And it's sort of been...
But you're telling me there was a time that agents asked
I know.
An assistant or
it was a different world. What? You just had to be a white man in an office.
It's that simple.
People would come to you.
All right.
It was the last time anything was easy for him.
So,
I believe it.
So that's how, yeah.
So you guys wrote a script together.
We wrote, yeah, this was, you know, again, this was like 2000 when you would write specs of existing shows. And so he came out to Boston and hung out for like a week, and we just banged out two Buffy specs, which was our favorite show.
Nice.
And like, we knew those voices, and they were like, they were what you would call fan fiction now. But we found that working together was really fun. And like, we each brought things to the party that the other didn't have, which obviously has evolved over time. But, you know, it was better working together than separately. And so I moved out to Los Angeles, I want to say later that year, and then moved back to Boston in 2002.
Like,
pretty much
this, I'm going home,
that
or...
agent became our agent. Nice. The guy who repped the creators of Will and Grace, and this guy was a like old style, like 1940s style bulldog of an agent. Like, he would have been in a Coen Brothers movie.
Amazing.
And so he was like, he didn't watch TV, he didn't know what to do with us. He was like, write me a Will and Grace, that's the only show I know. Like, all right. So we wrote a Will and Grace, and we got
it's called Grace.
Well,
and Will.
Like, we wrote a spec of that show, and you know, based on that and a couple of other specs we wrote at the time, we loved writing specs. It was like, because we love TV. But everyone was scared of this agent, so he got us meetings all over town, but no one told us how to have a meeting. And we would show up and be like, well, you like our writing, so what else do you want?
Yeah.
And so like that, after also in 2000, Survivor had just started, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was this huge hit. So, and there was the possibility of a looming strike. And so all the execs that we met were like, well, there's no scripted TV anymore, and there's going to be a strike. So you're here because I'm scared of your agent. Nice to meet you. Wow. Like, I remember we had one meeting, and we've since run into this exec, and he's a lovely guy. But we had this meeting that sort of like lasted about 20 minutes. And then after that, he was like, well, listen, at 4 o'clock, I get the East Coast feed of Survivor. So I'm going to go watch that now. So you guys have to go. We're like, okay, can we watch too?
Did he say yes?
No.
No. He's like, get out of here.
Oh, I was excited for you guys to watch Survivor.
So after a year of that, I got a job, a real job, and was like, well, I could have a real job not in LA. And so I left and moved back to Boston for a couple of years, which is where I ran into this person I had dated, and it had ended horribly in college, but we are now married.
That's great.
Did you call her an idiot?
she didn't call me an idiot, but it's implied.
Oh, yeah.
And she's right. I was.
No, I just want to know if that's how you meet people and make.
Yeah, that is how. Yeah,
Hannah.
Like, so.
We're like, Hannah, yeah. Rosner, you're an idiot. Let's do a crossover episode.
Yeah, it's that simple. Yeah.
But that's felt like, you know, that was like 04, 05, and that felt like, you know, the beginning in earnest of our career.
When did you start your podcast?
I started doing the writer's panel in 2011.
Yeah. And were there a lot of other podcasts at
there
the
were
time?
No podcasts.
Not, let alone like writing podcasts.
Oh,
but just,
man.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah. I mean, there were, I listened to a few comedy podcasts at the time, Never Not Funny and Mark Maron's show was going. And, you know, I wouldn't have started doing the writer's panel if it had existed. You know, like, I only started it because I, like, Ben and I were getting a lot of meetings. We were starting to sell stuff. And every step in the process felt closer. And I felt like there must be people with institutional knowledge out there. And I wanted to just hear about how the shows I love got made. So the short version of how it started was, they were originally for A26 LA, the nonprofit after school tutoring organization. And I had gone to a writer's panel at A26 LA, and it was really interesting, and it was with TV writers. I think Jenji Cohen was one of the guests. And I think the moderator did a fine job, but he wasn't asking the questions I wanted answered as a new writer. And so I went to the folks at 826 after that, and Ben and I had done some fundraisers for them and stuff because we were already doing Thrilling Adventure Hour at that time. So I went to them and said, like, this is great. Let me take it over. I think I want to ask these questions and I can book them for you, and like, you can have all the money. And so they said yes, and we did. And so the 826 has this nice little space in Echo Park, which holds about 40, 50 people. And it's like this nice little library space. And again, this was in 2011. And so we weren't at like the dawn of the showrunner yet. We weren't at peak TV yet. Lost had just ended. Yeah. There were a couple other like big network TV was still the only thing for the most part. And I booked on that first episode, Jane Espenson, who I had met through Thrilling, Damon Lindelof, who I'd met through another Buffy writer. And then a couple of someone from Mad Men, and I forget one other guest. And the person who was selling tickets from 826 forgot to put a cap on ticket sales. And so we sold 150 tickets.
Wow. And it was like, you said it was like a,
and it was like a 50 40, seat.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, this is not great. What are we going to do? luckily, Chris Hardwick was about to do a Thrilling Adventure Hour. And we had recently moved to Largo with the show because like we had outgrown the old space we were in. So Largo was a much bigger space. We were becoming bigger as a show. And so Chris was at my house for a rehearsal. And we were talking about like how hard it is to find 150 seat theater, which is the ideal space for like a comedy show. And Chris said, you know, my company Nerdist has just made a deal with Meltdown Comics. We're taking over the back. We're going to do a space there. We're setting it up next month. If you want to do your stuff there, we can do it. And like, we're not really set up yet. It feels like a basement, but like, we'll have a soundboard, we'll have microphones, we'll have chairs. If you want to do it there, you can. And if you want me to record it, I'd love to put it out as a podcast, which was something I had was already thinking of because we had just started podcasting Thrilling Adventure Hour. And I said, yes to all of that. And also, will you become the network for Thrilling Adventure Hour so we don't have to put that out ourselves also? Great. So both of those fell under the Nerdist banner for a long time.
So did you, how long were you doing live? I guess, when did you sort of pivot away from the live writers panels to just solely, you know, remote like we're doing now?
I did them live for a long time. I want to say it was.
That's awesome.
Maybe 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And I was doing at least 2 a month. And at a certain point, like I just got too busy to worry about ticket sales. And yeah, it just, at a certain point, like I started doing them in the studio, which was great because Nerdist had a little studio. And then during lockdown, I realized, oh, I can just stay at home and do this stuff.
Yeah.
Even easier.
Yeah, we got started during.
Yeah.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we have only recorded together live like.
Yeah, and it was an abject failure.
Why?
in terms of
we had to borrow
technologically,
so much equipment.
We are not very adept. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know what works for us, and we tend to just do that one thing. We also have a wonderful editor who is on maternity leave from us. I guess is the best way to put it. Like, she had a baby, and she's like so happy and excited. And Sunday,
I think
maybe
there's a great lesson in know what that one thing you do well is and do that, because I've sort of had the opposite experience for my entire career where I've just done a million things and I want to say like I've done them okay, and I can't help but think that if I had concentrated on one thing, perhaps I'd be wildly successful.
A blacker of all trades,
exactly.
But it feels like you have cast such a wide net so far in your career between the different types of projects you've done, live shows, podcasts, you've written comic books, you've written for TV shows, you've written movies. Like, as much as I totally see that side of, you know, trying to just focus on one thing, I can't help but look at your resume and see that clearly trying a little of everything and getting pretty good at a lot of it has worked out really well for you. Mm-hmm. And also in addition to that, not just with your writing career, but with the guests, you know, the variety of guests that you've had, like obviously the career that you've had and all the different avenues you've explored creatively have enabled you to meet so many incredible guests. I mean, how many, could you roughly estimate how many guests you've had? Because it's probably, it's up there, I'm sure. And like the, at least the triple digits.
Yeah. Is it, it's probably similar to the number of episodes.
I think it's probably three times the number of episodes I've done. Cause I used to do,
you'll have multiple guests
at a time.
But I don't know if anyone's ever come back.
That's a good point. You're right. You're right. A lot of repeat guests.
Because if they come back,
you know what? I never had repeat guests until I've been doing it for about 10 years. At which point I was like, I'd like to check in with some of these people and see how they're doing. What have they learned since I talked to them in, you know, 2013?
Yeah.
Wait, so how many episodes
I
want to
say
have?
It's coming up on 800.
Wow.
It's something like
Jesus,
that.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
It's a lot. I don't know how awesome it is. It's
No, it's very awesome.
I'll say, like, I keep doing it because I learn something every time. It's always an enjoyable conversation for me. There have rarely, like, I can point to two instances where the guests have been duds. And, like, that's a pretty low number for the number of people.
We
I've
won't make
I'll
you
tell
name
you
names.
Okay. but like it's always inspiring to me. I always learn something. And so like, I'm always happy to have the conversations. It's also like a thing that has fueled other endeavors where like I started this newsletter over on Substack and like, it's an extension of the writer's panel. Cause there has been in everything I've done, this educational aspect to it. That's just like, I started out as a high school teacher before I started making a living in television film. And like, it's something I like doing. I love the community around writing in Los Angeles that through the podcast, I sort of found myself a part of, you know, just by dint of meeting and talking to people for, you know, an hour.
Yeah. It's also nice to be reminded, I'm sure by, you know, interviewing all the exceptionally talented and successful people that you have. Writers are just people, you know, and they just want to talk about writing for the most part. I mean, I love talking mm-hmm. about writing and I love meeting other writers. And that was yeah. one of the coolest things about the strike, which we talked about on our strike episode, was getting the opportunity to just walk alongside other writers and be like, what have you worked on? What are you working on now? How, you know, it's I love other writers. I mean, that's my favorite thing about one of my favorite things about this industry. Do you have any, go ahead.
It can be an isolating industry too, which I think like I see less and less, which is really nice. Like there is acknowledgement of the community, but even like when I started the writers panel, comedy writers didn't know drama writers, you know, and like cable writers mm-hmm. didn't know network writers. So.
And feature writers don't know.
Like for real, like feature writers, we always referred to as like weirdo loners who sat at home in their computer.
Thank you. We are.
But I think that's less the case now. And like.
Wait, what?
No, I'm just kidding. Erica's still a weirdo, but not a loner.
Exactly. Embrace Perfect. That. But like, mm-hmm. it was so much fun on those early, especially those live panels for those first few years where like, you know, sci-fi writers would get to meet comedy writers and they would be effusive about each other's shows because everybody watched everything too. So it was like this real forming of community, and a series of like dinners came out of it and drinks came out of it, when those drinks meetings still happen occasionally, which is really nice. But like that all started because a Buffy writer who I had on the panel was like, I loved meeting those people. I want to talk about the stuff we can't talk about on microphones. Can we do a dinner? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, if you can host it, let's do a dinner.
So I'm just curious. Like, I know you've had over 800 guests on your show. For our listeners who are tuning in and who want to check out your podcast, are there any kind of all-time favorite guests?
The thing I usually say is, there are two ways to approach this. One is like, what is your favorite show from the past decade? You will find a writer from, if the showrunner, if not a writer from that show on the podcast.
That's awesome.
For me, I think, you know, there are a couple that have been really special and fun. Josh Friedman, who created the Sarah Connor Chronicles and who has most recently written the Avatar sequels, and Jeff Greenstein, who was a writer for Friends and Will and Grace, were on a panel together early on, and they had this ridiculous chemistry. And so I brought them back a number of times over the years because they were always so much fun. And like sometimes when I had a writer that I was nervous to meet, like when Vince Gilligan came on for the first time, I was like Breaking Bad was huge at the time. I was like, I'm nervous to meet him. I brought Josh and Jeff on to like be my co-hosts. And they were so great.
They're like, they're your wingmen. Yeah.
It was so much fun. So like anything with them tends to be a really great episode. And then speaking of Vince, the first episode I did, or I guess the second episode I did with Vince, like he did a live panel. And then a few months later, I went to the Breaking Bad offices and I sat down with him and we talked for like over an hour. And it was one of the first like long form one-on-one interviews he had done and I had done. And so it was a really fun experience. And like Breaking Bad was just sort of taking off. This was the rise of like the TV auteur, and he was, you know, he was the number three on that list, which is kind of neat, where like you heard so much about Matt Weiner and you heard so much about a couple of other folks, but Vince was sort of the dark horse, and which I think was good because he felt like an underdog. And so we had this long conversation about the show and how, where it came from and why it was so great and like the, how he worked with the room. And it was just a terrific conversation that became the model for future one-on-one conversations like that. And I loved Breaking Bad. I loved Better Call Saul. And I would check in, if not every season, every couple of years with those staffs. And like, they would bring me to the writer's room and I would sit down and everyone would get a microphone and we'd record like season in review episodes for both of those shows. And they were like, we did a couple of live ones that were fun. We did a couple in the writer's room that were a blast. So those are great episodes for folks to listen to. And I will say also, my favorite episode is an outlier.
Awesome.
Because it was, I had Jeff Probst on the show.
this is all about Survivor. I love Survivor. My husband is a huge fan. I've seen a few seasons and it is great. I'm not a huge reality TV show watcher, but Survivor is special. You just tune in for like 5 minutes. You can see.
It was, I got my wife hooked a few years ago. We're in a league where we draft players. Like, it is so much fun. I stopped watching for a long time and then I came back to it in like 2013, 14. And then I had CBS asked if I wanted to have Probst on the show in, I want to say like 15, 16. Gosh. And so it was perfect timing. And I made him sit in the studio with me for like 90 minutes where we were ostensibly talking about like a children's book he had written. And so like we talked about that.
he wrote a
middle grade book, amazing, which was very cute, called Stranded, awesome, about a kid who gets stuck on an island.
No.
Like it was perfect.
Oh my God.
But like we talked about storytelling and how like Survivor and reality TV craft story. And like he was so smart about, and he's the showrunner of that show, so he's like part of every decision. And like it was a fascinating conversation, which I also realized, and folks can't understand this now if they are hearing this for the first time and don't know the writers panel, because I am monopolizing this conversation, but in the writers panel I tend to be a better listener, but I realized as I was talking to Probst, oh God, everything I learned about interviewing, I learned from watching Survivor.
Wow.
I learned from Jeff Probst.
No, he's so
good at it.
The way he gets people to open up, like he's really a class of his own when it comes to, to absolutely, hosts. Like most people you kind of are like, sure. But Jeff Probst, like, cares. And he so smart and intuitive. So anyway, I'm a fan. Also, did you know, and you probably do know this, but one of the winners, Cochrane.
I did hear that. And there are a few TV writers who have been on. We worked with a guy once.
Well, there's Mike White. But yeah, that one I didn't know. I randomly met
him. And he's a lovely guy.
It's like, I'm a TV writer. Super nice. But yeah, that's awesome. I will be checking.
Please do,
out
and tell your husband to check it out.
I'm gonna play it for my husband, and he's gonna get such a kick out of it. So amazing, because he's like you. He's been in it since the beginning, and I'm, you know, someone who got into it because I married a guy who's into it. Yeah. That's awesome.
There's something about like being what you were just saying just got me thinking, you know, being a good listener is such a, it's a very important skill to have, obviously, as a podcast host, but, and something you can hone after however many hundreds of episodes, but it's also like a skill I think you need as a writer. And it's just something that I just realized, you know, you have to also be, I think when you're a writer, there's so much, the focus is on churning out content, is on writing, is on generating ideas, but you're making me realize that there's also an element of just being like open to your surroundings and what is happening and communicating with other people and like hearing from them. So I feel like there's this, it's a whole circular, you know, situation here with, and it all comes back to Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, I think
on a
practical level, yes, absolutely. Like listen to the world around you, just be a good human in that way. But on a practical level for writers, like, if you're in a room, you need to understand how to gauge involvement in that room, which means not just waiting for your turn to say something. Like in any good conversation, you should be listening and then participating. When you're receiving notes, when you're in a meeting with an exec, even when you're pitching, like you see that look come over the exec's face and you're like, okay, this is about to become a conversation. And that becomes a much better pitch anyway, in my experience.
I wanted to ask you also, going back to something you said earlier about, you know, being a kind of a jack of all trades and trying a lot of different mediums in terms of storytelling. Do you, or did you, and it's changed, like, do you have sort of a North Star in terms of I want to just write movies forever if that's what I could do, or TV shows forever, mm-hmm. or do you, you know, did you have like sort of a goal when you moved out to LA that it's going to be movies or bust, and I got into TV, and so things have changed. Like, I'm just curious about your sort of goal, what it is, what it was.
Yeah.
Are they the same, you know?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good question. And yeah, it's, you know, when Ben and I got into the industry, it was, we wanted to write TV. You know, movies seemed very difficult. It was a different world 20 years ago in many ways. TV felt, and we love TV, you know, like this was the thing we brought into our homes and got excited about. And it was only becoming better and better. I think once we started doing Thrilling Adventure Hour in 2005, we realized, and that was purely practical, I should say. Like, we did Thrilling because we wanted to write a show and no one was paying us to write anything. And so like, okay,
write a show that people will see.
Yeah, like, we'll make our own.
Yeah,
you can't just write stuff and put it in a drawer. You know, you've got to get it into the world. And so we didn't realize it was going to be a monthly show. We didn't realize it was going to take over the next decade of our lives. But I'm glad it did, because it taught us early on that like writing is writing and storytelling is storytelling. And, you know, you will find the best story for whatever media, or you will find the best medium for whatever story. And that really has been our experience. And it's why we've been able to do, you know, stage and audio and comics and books and TV and movies. And like, just getting the opportunity to tell the stories is a real privilege, you know? And like, the thing Ben always says, which I think is true of so many of us, is like, I have 300 stories I want to tell, but I have, you know, 60 years of my life probably to get to do those. And so I'm never going to tell them all. So how can I tell as many as I can wherever I can? You know, I think that's been the past and very much the present. I think looking to the future, last year I decided, you know, I had done some, because of Thrilling and because of audio stuff we had done, I'd done some directing with stage, and I've done some directing with voice acting. And I thought, well, maybe I can direct something. And so I wrote and directed a short film for $0 just to see if I could do it. And I had some facility for it. And I really loved doing it. And I feel like doing more will teach me more. And so like bringing that new goal on makes me much more focused towards film. Plus, that's where Ben and I are getting some opportunities these days. That said, you know, we're also developing TV stuff that we're excited about. So, but I like, you know, getting into visual media because I want to be able to direct it as well as write it. I love working with actors. I love working with crew, you know, like I love that collaboration. That is the reason we got into TV in the first place, is like you get all these smart people working towards a goal. And in the best case, it comes out great. But even in the worst case, it comes out. You got to do it. Yeah. Like that counts for something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, and especially in film, when you are not the director, you don't have control. Like on TV, it's different. You know, showrunner in charge, directors reporting to showrunners, but film is the opposite. So it makes a lot of sense to me that in order that you would want to do that in film.
Especially. It's exciting. I mean, look, movies are great. I remembered this only like a year or two ago. Like, oh, right. That's why I love
movies.
That's
are
why
great.
I love, like, that's why I got into this. I love movies. I loved movies as a kid, but it took, you know, during the pandemic, because we were stuck at home and we got all the screeners, the Oscar screeners, we watched everything. And then after that year, my wife, who is not in the entertainment industry, said, hey, I think I've seen enough movies now. I have some opinions. I was like, all right, great. Let's talk about it. And since then, she was like, I think I want to take myself, I want to put myself through like a self-imposed film school. I was like, great. That sounds like a lot of fun. And like, I didn't really go to film school. I took film history classes and stuff like that. I was like, let's do it together. So she's like picked a syllabus off of, you know, offline and was like, let's just follow your interests. And so she was like, I'm interested in editing. I was like, all right, let's learn about editing. And we watched the Potemkin step sequence. Awesome. And then that led us to French New Wave. And that led us to Scorsese movies. And like, it's been really fun. And we've been doing that the past couple of years. And it made me remember why I love movies so much.
That's so cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I would like to ask you the like the crux of our podcast question. So get ready. It's this. What is something that you wish you had known when you
were
getting
started?
Oh, God,
it's everything. I mean, like, don't you feel this way? Like,
I mean, we started a podcast about it, so yes. But yeah, like, you know, that I know obviously there's like all kinds of things, but like, you know, you can go back to your 20-year-old self and tell them like one thing.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
I think the part of it is to engage with that community earlier and understand that like we are all in the same boat. And the people who you are looking to for jobs can also be your friends. You know, like networking has such a dirty connotation, but like, I think there's a way to look at it that isn't that, you know, where you are just being part of a community. I think the other thing specifically to me is like, don't take on so much. Like could have written, you know, 3 movies a year if I wasn't writing, if we didn't write Thrilling Adventure Hour every month, a new script for 10 years, you know, like what else could we have done in that time? What if we had doled that out a little bit more and still had the same great show that we loved and the friends that we made from it and the collaborators that we got to work with, but like make your own thing, but don't make it the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. And going back to what you were saying about the community, and either you or Hannah said this earlier, but writers are people, you know, and we both have that, like, we tend to view other writers as either with hero worship, you know, like Vince Gilligan would never want to talk to me. No, Vince Gilligan's like a really nice guy. He's a cool dude. And then also competition, right? Like Hannah's my competition, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and no, like that's both of those are incorrect.
Right? I don't know. People. The first time I read a script that Erica wrote, I was like, what am I doing? Like, she's so good. Like, what?
We saw it, Ben. We swapped scripts, all three of us. And I think we it was like at the beginning when we started the podcast, and I read Hannah and Jess's samples, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, this podcast has been really good for my like turning jealousy into just admiration. You know, just like it's okay to channel your envy into like, hey, maybe we're all actually pretty good at this and we want to help each other.
But isn't it like, the competition aspect, I never really had that. And maybe I should have, like maybe it would have made me work a little harder. But like when I read someone else's great work, I just get so excited, you know, like lately in the past couple of years, it's been reading like new writers and emerging writers, and like reading something great gets me thrilled, and I want to like pass it on to people who can get them jobs.
I think that also comes from reading so many that are not right, like, and it's not, you know, like people who aren't ready, right? When you're, you know, I also love to read emerging writers when I have time, and even non-emerging writers, emerged writers have sent me stuff that I'm just like, oh boy, you know. And I feel like most of the scripts I read, I'm like, I have notes. Some I don't have notes on because I can't help you. Just have to politely say, like, you wrote a script, I'm so proud of you. So when you do get those scripts that you're like, oh shit, like this person can really write, it is so exciting and wonderful. It's such a great feeling that I don't think I would have had when I was younger and didn't know that what the writer.
I think some of that for me is also, like I said, like I started out as a teacher, and like I'm getting that same thing from even just teaching at Script Anatomy, where like maybe I've been lucky, or maybe I'm just like excited to read new people, but like I want to help them make this thing great, this thing that's in their head. I want, like, using my 20 years of experience, I want to help them bring that to the page. And so like, as long as someone is asking for help, I'm thrilled to give it, you know?
Yeah. Giving notes, the difference between giving notes to someone who genuinely wants them and someone who genuinely doesn't is night and day. I'm sure that you both see a lot of that with here. Because
we've discussed it. Yeah. Among other things.
That's a whole other episode.
This was such a wonderful conversation. And thank you, Ben, for joining us. I'm so glad that we got to have you on our podcast. And this is how we're going to know who are the true fans of both podcasts, because we're going to swap in a few minutes, and we're going to be guests on the writer's panel, which is very exciting. So yeah, follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. You can connect with us there or email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys. Tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about next, or who you'd like us to interview.
Tell us where our listeners can hear your podcast and get a hold of you.
Check out the Writers Panel anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's called the Writers Panel.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.